I can't rapid fire on this soundboard like I could on the old one. Like sit there and play the same thing over and over again, because if you click it again, it just stops. I need to look and see if it's got options somewhere. Because then you can't sit there and wail on the little honk horn. But anyways, this is Pure Decking, show number 471 for Thursday, March the 17th, 461. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and if your beer is green, you've probably waited too long to drink it. I mean, I kind of wonder how many bars just save the swill, the stuff that's about to go off, because they're going to water it down and put food coloring in it anyways and say, look, it's the St. Patrick's Day special.
Oh, you're a terrible human being for even thinking that. You've just ruined St. Patrick's Day for every alcoholic.
I mean, if you say so.
You haven't seen the latest South Park episode.
No, but I also don't really drink festive green beer. I just order the same shit I always order.
Did they do that on South Park?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh. It opens up with Butters pinching a woman for not wearing green, and suddenly he's a sex offender. They pretty much spent the next 25 minutes then shitting all over St. Patrick's Day for being a white man's fucking holiday.
Oh yeah, real great.
I don't know where Trey and Matt have gone in their heads, but I mean, they're hit and miss funny now. Like,
I mean, the first part's funny. The second part,
yeah, I didn't get what they're on about. Were they pro fucking St. Patrick or anti? I couldn't tell, dude. They missed their mark with me.
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess
this whole
watch
season's
it.
Been like that, actually.
So, anyways, well, that's disappointing. I guess we should finish the intro here. We have a madman.
Hola, cómo está, mi amigos? Buenos tacos.
Tú no hablo español.
No hablo inglés.
In the wrong fucking show.
Yeah, we should probably finish it and be in English. And we have an RU.
Hello.
So,
sitting here just watching the Daytona 500 from 1981. It's great, dude.
I bet.
Men still died in cars upside down.
I was going to say, how different is it from today's?
Oh, the suspension's just held down with chains. I mean, it's the steering wheel is a full size. Like, they're actually driving real cars that have just had the performance boosted out of them.
Wait, that's what NASCAR was originally supposed to be.
I know, it's fantastic, dude. I've been getting into this retro racing kick lately. And just watching these dudes absolutely fight this stuff with no power steering, no electronic gauges, bare minimum. Right down to the point that the in-car cameras have no stable anti-shake control.
Oh, jeez.
It's fantastic,
and
man.
You know they're probably like those giant ass VHS recorder cameras.
Oh, no doubt, dude. It's a full size fucking, you know, in studio camera riding in the car with them, and
they're probably
the
pissed
owners,
about that for the weight.
The team owners are just your good old boys, man. Like, there's before the real big money entered the sport, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, back when it was the Winston Cup. Everyone wants to smoke some cigarettes.
Yeah, there's still all advertising like that and alcohol everywhere. It's and bikini chicks and yeah.
Actually, sounds like a great weekend. Just load up a bunch of those and
yeah, but you get homesick for a place that doesn't exist. You know, that's the worst part.
Well, that reminds me of playing old video games, because then you go back and replay them, and it's like, I remember this looking a lot different, because, you know, you got that nostalgia.
Oh, exactly.
It's like, I remember running around these levels, but they don't look the same. Why don't they look the same? It's like, because you're nostalgic for a memory that's not exactly real. it sucks. Anyways, well, I guess we should get back into reality here. So This first
never
one is...
Never remember what they took from you. It'll only make you sad.
So this first one is a Reddit post. It's in the technology board, and it's by a user named Svengalo. He writes, "Hey all, I recently found a new empty file had appeared on my desktop named withlovefromamerica.txt. My first thoughts were that I'd been hacked, especially with it being an empty file. After some searching, I came across the following repo on GitHub," and it goes to a github.com/RIA evangelist/peacenotwar. This guy has created an npm package which creates the file on your desktop protesting war. The npm package was then merged into node-ipc, which is a widely used package across many corporations with the likes of Stripe and Unity. The way the modules that node modules work, there may be a long dependency chain of npm packages in your solution, one or many of them eventually hitting the node ipc package. Tweets from the maintainers put up basically say they were trying to damage computers in Russia and Ukraine. They were intentionally, like the authors of this package that is widely used, decided they were going to try to damage computers in Russia and the Ukraine. And, apparently it was supposed to do a lot more than it does because there's some errors in it. But the author says, "I just want to let you all know it's not a virus. You haven't been hacked. It's just someone maliciously adding a new file to your desktop, which is supposed to have content in it." And you can see, and he's got a link to their code where it just doesn't work, resulting in a lot of people having an empty file on their desktop. It's been updated. It has a CVE because this is obviously an attack. And apparently it has... destroyed some data. There's apparently a report that an American NGO operating in the area has lost 30,000 whistleblower reports. And if you go into the Node IPC and the Peace Not War issues where people are bitching about this, the authors are basically saying, yeah, well, they shouldn't be having a war.
Okay.
And this is hitting on every computer?
This is hitting on a lot of computers that run this Node software. So okay. Node is a package for JavaScript programming files. So you'll see a lot of things use it in the background to load in requirements for writing code. And you've got some code authors who've written modules who are deciding to be activists who are inserting malicious code into a known package to protest the war in Ukraine. But
It's not necessarily going to get on a Russian computer.
Well, I mean, it's widely used, so it might. But
so we're going to attack everyone on the planet just on the off chance that we're going to get the dude we're targeting.
Yeah, basically. And for most people, it is just putting an empty file on their desktop, which is obnoxious. But the thing is, if you have a widely used package for Node, and I mean, Node is pretty heavily used throughout the industry, and you start pulling shit like this, it's not going to be long before you start seeing companies and, business, everywhere that uses Node saying, why are we using all this open source software again if the open source authors can fuck with us like this? I mean... Shit like this just gives... I work... Madman, you and I both work in the same industry. A lot of the technology guys out there are skeptical of open source, if not outright hostile to it, because it doesn't have a support contract. They don't have a throat to choke. You have to do a lot yourself with it. And they'd rather just pay money to a company to get a solution. Well, this is ammo for those people who say don't use open source software in the industry.
It also means that you aren't actually going to have a secure network if
if somebody can just insert code like this because they feel like being an activist.
Yeah.
Didn't we have a story like this a couple weeks ago where a dude just went fuck it and changed something?
Yeah. And in that instance, people took the repo away from him.
Yeah, I can see these open source guys being out of work. Not that they actually get paid, but I don't know how it works. Fuck.
Well, the theory is that it's people in their spare time writing stuff, but in reality, a lot of companies donate to foundations, and then these foundations hire programmers to work on them. So, like, that's how Linux, the Linux kernel is maintained, is you have the Linux Foundation, which pays for people to do maintenance on the kernel, pays salaries for, like Torvalds and those guys. At least I think I'm remembering this right. I'm doing it from memory, so if I'm getting it a little wrong, don't crucify me here. But you also have companies that'll say, hey, we're using Linux or this particular open source software, and they'll have their own developers sit there and work on it in-house and just contribute back to the main project. But for a lot of things like these node packages, it probably is students, people in their spare time, and, you know, somebody who's a lot of these come out of, you know, somebody needs to solve their own problem, so they put up a package. You know, they write a library that does what they need, put up the package to Node so that other people can use it, and then go on about their life. And these guys just realized that one of their packages was heavily used and decided to take advantage of it. So, you know, from as the security side of me, it's like, well, don't use Node packages because people screw with them. You know, tell your developers, sorry, you got to write all your own libraries. Don't use open source software. I mean, that's the knee-jerk reaction to shit like this.
Yeah.
Not to mention that it's obnoxious that they're deleting people's data if you happen to be geolocated wrong or just happen to be running a VPN. But, I mean, I guess that's one of the side effects of these kind of packaging systems for JavaScript and other languages is that you're kind of trusting that all these packages you're pulling in are safe.
So when did it become just, you know, casual to insert your will over others and not get smacked for it?
I'm going to go with when cancel culture started becoming a thing.
I think that's a lot of the problem here. Got to start smacking some of these people in the face, tell them to pull their head in.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking, is it's like, you know, you would think other people involved in the open source and Node and all that would
where
be
are they?
You know, smack them. They're like, what are you doing? You want people to not use our systems? This is how you get people to not use our systems.
You know, like, it'd be like getting a carpet shampooer in to do your rugs. And then you come home and there's a dirty big fucking turd there and they've left a note. Didn't like what you had on your fucking bookshelf. You're going to smack the cunt. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm pretty angry today.
I wonder what kind of liability this could open these people up to.
Oh, most open source licenses say that there's no liability. You agree that, you know, there's no warranty implied or any of the kind and all that fun stuff. If you go through the languages, it's basically.
No warranty, I can see, but this isn't it broke. This was an intentional act.
Yeah, this is malicious.
Well, potentially criminal. I mean, people know who the authors of this library are, at least through GitHub. So, I mean, if you want to pursue it criminally, I suppose, you know, somebody who's lost data could. So.
Yeah, I'm all for if the companies that had this happen to them go smack them around a bit with the lawsuit.
Yeah, I haven't seen any articles actually written about this yet, which is why I went with the Reddit post. But
or if you're a large enough company, I know you have in-house security, send some dudes around. Let them know that you're not happy.
The leg breaking I'm against, but the doing them?
I didn't say break their leg. I mean, maybe
I don't know that you could sue them for just, you know, like you know, that's the thing though, is you chose to
You'd
use
have
their
to
package.
Show damage.
You know, you chose to use their package, you know, based on a good faith thing, but there's not really a contract there, you know, you're really just kind of, you know, with Node.js and a few of these other package managers, you're really just, you know, it's a convenient way of grabbing code from GitHub, right? You're just kind of trusting that what's up there is good. And so maybe that whole argument of you shouldn't be using this stuff has got some teeth to it, because in the end, it's kind of true. It's not like anybody, I mean, you know, you got stuff like this. It's obviously nobody's checking these things before they get published. You're just dependent on what the author of whatever package to, you know, not publish something that's wrong, you know, malicious or otherwise.
There's no contract between me and Toyota saying they're not going to plant a bomb in my car. But if I buy a Toyota and then somebody from the factory comes over and puts a bomb in it, I can still sue them.
Yeah, but
we're
instance,
not talking about a code that they designed and then didn't work. Or
but you
a code that's doing what they said it would do.
But the key there, Madman, was you bought the Toyota in that example. With a lot of this open source software, you didn't buy it. You just got it off the internet for free based off the goodwill of others.
You're still liable if you were to give me a car and then put a bomb in the car?
Well, at that point, the how you got the car is kind of irrelevant, isn't it? Because you had, you know, there's a bomb in the car. So at this point,
okay,
I think
on
you,
this
might,
one, it's
you might have
not
an
quite
argument.
Bombing it, you come over and sabotage the car.
I mean, you, if you can show damage, extreme. Like if you're one of the, if you're like that NGO that lost data, I think you've possibly got a criminal case against them showing damage.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to suing people, that's the only time you can sue them is if you, well, you can sue anyone for just about anything, but you're only going to get into court if you can show damage. But so, I'm thinking, if you can show damage on this, yeah, I think they should be liable for it.
Now, their defense is going to be, well, we never, you know, it's, there's no contract. It's not like we told you to use it.
And no, you didn't tell us to use it, but you said it did this, and it doesn't do that.
Yeah, you offered it. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well,
so.
Your software suite didn't tell me that it came with a whiny cunt attached to it. Yeah. There was no full disclosure on your behalf. If I'd have known you were going to be a whiny cunt about it, I wouldn't have used your software suite.
Well, that's the other thing, is apparently a lot of people don't know that they're using it because it came in as a dependency of, you know, something else. So that's the other thing with especially Node packages, is you might want a particular package for Node. Well, that package depends on five other packages. And each of those might have a couple of packages they depend on. So you tell it to install one package, and it might pull in 30.
Yeah.
Oh, on that, then something like this could kill open source, used at least in industry.
That's kind of my point, is, you know, from the security and stability standpoint, I mean, it's, again, nobody's validating these things, at least not with Node. I know some of the different repos out there, they try to have, you know, like a lot of your Linux distros, the repositories for those, like Ubuntu, Debian, they'll have maintainers, and they actively work to make sure that the patches and the packages they put up are good. And that, you know, that's one of the big reasons to use something like, well, actually, the Arch user repository is a really good example of that, where, you know, they have a lot of pride in that everything in there, you know, is in fairly decent shape. But, you know, if you're great, you know, Node isn't really a, you know, the Node.js package manager is more just, you know, straight up grabbing things off GitHub, because it's all optimized for continuous integration rather than, you know, so if the package maintainer calls it green and puts it out as good, you know, all the automated systems are just going to pick it up and deploy it, you know? So. But it's not like there's no extra step. It's not like, okay, here's an open source package, then here's a repo maintainer that's separate from the guy maintaining the package, right? I'm not saying somebody couldn't get malicious code into other repos. I'm sure it's happened, but I'm saying with more than one, you know, one person involved, you know, there's an extra step there. So. But yeah, I can see stuff like that really hampering deployment of open source libraries and packages. Because,
and this is going to do a lot of added cost to business if they decide to ditch open source.
Oh yeah.
How much is just free things you grab off the internet to run your company, especially smaller companies that don't have compliance?
Well, I mean, a lot of what modern developers write would be considered glue code. You know, they're grabbing this piece and this piece and this piece, and then make an interface and hook it all together, you know, link up bits. Now, I'm way oversimplifying, but yeah, I mean, if you're writing in a common language like JavaScript or Node, you can pull in libraries that already do 80% of the hard work of interfacing with whatever systems you've got in the back end, right? All you're doing is formatting your data and giving in an interface and piping it around. In a lot of cases, I'm way oversimplifying. You know, some of these people put some real, I guess it depends on what their product is, right, and what they write it to do. But it's not uncommon for a lot of these libraries that, you know, handle some of the more esoteric or difficult functions just to get reused over and over and over again. So, I don't know. But continuing the trend of software people being shitty, this next one is from Ars Technica. Microsoft actually accidentally reveals that it's testing ads in Windows Explorer.
Imagine my shock.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a banner ad. There's a screenshot showing somebody sitting there browsing a hard drive with a banner ad across the top there. Windows 11 testers are regularly finding new Windows 11 features that Microsoft wasn't ready to show anyone yet. Sometimes that means digging up a new task manager or tabs for File Explorer. And sometimes it means finding advertisements for other Microsoft products as you browse your own locally stored files. Microsoft MVP Florian Boudreau, found an example of the latter when he saw an ad prompting Microsoft Editor or ad promoting Microsoft Editor while viewing his documents folder in a Windows 11 build. In a statement to The Verge, Microsoft Senior Program Manager Brendan LeBlanc acknowledged that the banner ad was genuine and said that it had been experimental and that it was not intended to be published externally and was turned off. As The Verge notes,
wasn't removed, it was turned off.
Yep. As The Verge notes, quote, "We didn't mean for anybody to see that," unquote.
Whoopsie.
I didn't mean you to see my penis on the Zoom call. I was just wanting to beat off.
I just work for CNN.
It is not a promise to never run ads in Windows Explorer, and Microsoft's behavior around its Edge browser, Microsoft's account requirements, and its prompts to try OneDrive and 365 all indicate that the company has no problem with this aggressive internal promotion of its own products and services. It's an unfortunate reality that comes with using a big company's products, as you'll get promo notifications on Apple TV for your iPhone. You'll get suggestions that you switch to Chrome when using Gmail, or prominent ads for Alexa-based products every time you buy a $6 cable on Amazon. The author doesn't particularly want to see prompts for Microsoft Editor in his documents folder or banner suggesting that he try Clipchamp in his videos folder. Second one hasn't happened, it's just an example. But in the author's mind, there's a line between these kinds of generic system file folder-based suggestions and banners based on actual files or file types he's working with in Explorer. Broad assumption that you're in the documents folder, let me suggest things related to documents, is annoying, but doesn't feel particularly evasive. Any suggestion that Microsoft is gathering using information about your locally stored files so it could better advertise to you is certainly going to cross the line. As Microsoft gets more and more stupid,
rapey
with Windows, that one's another one going to be hard to justify in business. I mean, that's a harder sell to switch off of it because there's a lot of things based around Windows and Active Directory and all that. But I'm kind of wondering, it's going to be like, okay, you start with the base image of Windows, you strip out, you know, your corporate image is going to be stripping out all the stuff and then replacing all of the built-in Microsoft programs with other things so that the computer's flipping usable. I mean, the way they're going. Ooh. That's an idea.
They're programming ads into the kernel.
They're programming ads into the freaking file browser. I mean, how... I mean, you remember that scene in Idiocracy where he's watching TV and it's just nothing but ads all the way around the show he's trying to watch? You have to buy a bigger screen because of all the fucking ads? That's what Windows wants to do. And then they're like, oh yeah, that was an internal test feature. We didn't mean for you to see that. You know, fuck you. I mean, seriously. Go buy a license to Directory Opus, because fuck. Or, you know, this is where I go back and say I really hope SteamOS picks up more momentum and gets that implementation of wine going really, really well. Because, yeah, I don't see wanting to run Windows much longer if this shit keeps up. Like, at all. I mean, if it weren't for some hardware dependencies, I probably wouldn't be running it at all now. But I've got some stuff that doesn't play nice with Linux because it's esoteric. But
and it's not just them. Crap. Apple's been doing it too.
Well, Apple's been less aggressive about it that I can see. But yeah, they you know, on your phone you get notifications saying go into tips and learn how to use this, learn how to use that. You could buy this. Yeah, you get shit like that. I mean, half the apps on your phone will try to send you notifications as ads. And that's obnoxious. So I just hate how it's every facet. And we called this shit back in the day when they first started adding telemetry to Windows 7. We knew this is where they were going to go, because I remember us talking about it.
Yep.
But I mean, you always kind of hold
hey,
that
man,
hope. Hey,
man, everything will be a service.
You will own nothing life, and like it. Yeah.
Life as a service. That's what they want for you. Because as they say in their own books, free will is pain. Just let us take that free will away and everything will be bliss.
I wonder how hard it would be to grab a whole bunch of the Linux desktop environment for like KDE or maybe one of the old ones and recompile it to run on top of Windows make a stripped down Windows that runs KDE as a desktop.
I think they're going to get rid of home hardware.
Oh, they'd like to. They'd like you to be, you know, running tablets and phones and consoles. And if you're not a professional in the industry, you know, with a license to use a general purpose computer. Yeah.
Yep. They want you all based in cloud services. And everything will be as a service.
Well, yeah, because instead of selling you something once, they can sell you that thing every month.
Exactly.
It's like,
well, you want to play the latest video games? Well, you have to rent all this different equipment in the cloud to be able to play your games. But don't worry, we're gonna make it simple for you. We're gonna have these five companies, and all you're gonna do is pay a subscription each month, okay? But they won't be cross-platform. So if you want to use all five services, you're gonna have to have five subscriptions.
What was it? The Google one where you actually had to buy the games on the subscription platform, and if you quit paying the subscription, too bad, you lost your games, even though you bought
them. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
That was just too outrageous. It was too soon.
I haven't seen that. That would be crazy.
I think that was the Google one. I might be wrong about that, but there was one where you actually had to buy the games on the platform. So
I can't think of who it was.
I thought it was Google. Maybe it was one of the ones that went under. Because there were a couple of others. I mean, that'd be a quick way to go under. That kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I played with the NVIDIA one, because I got a free trial of it when I bought some hardware. And it at least said, okay, well, let me scan your Steam library, and then it let you access the games that you already owned through Steam. So that one wasn't quite so bad. But had to change a bunch of settings in my Steam account so it could scan the library, and then I went and changed them right back.
Because dude, like, wait till I get the idea of renting it to you by the hour.
Wait, I'm sure they've had the idea and just went, no, nobody's going to go for that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, man.
That's right up there with early access. We're going to have people pay us to beta test our games.
Yeah.
So I mean, people are fucking stupid.
So,
what's up next?
Next story is from the BBC. Art, you sent me this article. Bitcoin cash machines ordered to shut down in the UK. All UK cryptocurrency cash machines, ATMs, are operating illegally and must be shut down, the Financial Conduct Authority has announced.
Getting their slice, that's why.
Yeah, this is the, oi, you got a license to run that joke?
Uh-huh.
Yep. You know, what's the meme video? The guy's literally walking, you know, the police Bobby is literally coming out of a lake at the guy. You get a license to see that nature, or whatever it was.
Exactly.
Crypto ATMs look like regular cash machines and let people buy cryptocurrency, such as Bitcoin, using their bank cards. But no company offering cryptocurrency services in the UK has a license to operate a crypto ATM. Most likely because they didn't offer one. Of course,
that's it.
I mean, given the UK's mentality on it, is if we don't give you a license for it, you're not allowed to do it. Versus uh-huh. Well, you're not regulating it, so I'm going to do what I want. Yeah, the FCA has said all machines must be shut down, or it will take action. There we go. I need the other sound effect. I got to go dig that one up. The FCA said that all machines... Oh, I already read that. According to the crypto ATM directory Coin ATM Radar, there are 81 functional crypto ATMs in the UK. The FCA said, quote, "We regularly warn consumers that crypto assets are unregulated and a high risk, which means people are very unlikely to have any protections if things go wrong. People should be prepared to lose all their money if they choose to invest in them." You know, fear, hide under the table. Or hide your kids, hide your wife. Ain't nobody got time for that. Or whatever the fuck the meme is. The FCA publishes a list of companies that appear to be involved in cryptocurrency but have not registered their business with the regulators for anti-money laundering checks. It said that since the publication of the list, 110 of the cryptocurrencies have ceased trading. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because you just put onerously fucking... restrictions on them
that probably didn't exist a few days ago.
Dude, you aren't allowed into the money market. Haven't you fucking figured that out yet? I mean, I thought the whole Reddit jaunt into stocks said enough that no, you aren't allowed to play. This is our area, not yours.
you're not playing right. Mom, he's not playing right.
Exactly. You're not allowed to get into the money market, man. That's not yours. Not your playground. That's what they did. They just fucking put regulations on them that was so hard to fucking meet that the companies had to fold.
You're not allowed to make money here. Sounds like
they didn't... they said you have to have a license and then just didn't issue any licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Is what the story so far sounds like.
You'll probably find, Lloyd's of London or something will fucking bring out one now. That would be the top players, the Bank of England or some shit. That'll
well, I have a feeling they just wasn't a license for this kind of thing. So people were setting them up and operating them. And now they've suddenly decided, hey, you're operating without a license. When you didn't offer a license before. Well, you're operating without a license. That's not allowed.
There you go.
So I'm sure that's what it is. I mean, we could dig into it and really find out. But frankly, it's more fun to make jokes about, oi, you got a license for that fun. So
I'm not opposed to them requiring disclosure that the assets aren't insured, because a lot of people believe if you're dealing with anything banking related, at least in the States, that it's got something like FDIC insurance. Letting them know, nope, you're assuming risk. That's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
Now that they know that, let them assume the risk if they want.
Bitcoin currently at 40,500.
Yeah, but Madman, if they take their own initiative, that could cause them suffering by using their free will. We can't have suffering.
Suffering will exist no matter what.
No, it won't. I've read the books, man. It's not going to. You just give away your free will.
I've heard that speech before somewhere.
You'll never suffer again.
First Avengers movie, Loki, when he tried to take over Germany. I think that's where I heard that speech.
Well, they ripped it off. Anyway.
So,
but you're right. Full disclosure, Madman. If it's not insured, people should know. That way they can make an informed decision.
Yeah, at that point, if they want to trade in crypto, fine.
All right. Next topic. This one is from Business Insider. Netflix wants you to stop sharing your passwords with friends, and it's undertaking a new effort to try to stop you.
My balls, you may suck, Netflix.
The streaming service will soon launch a test. You're going to love this, Madman. A test directed at cracking down on password sharing outside of a user's household. Variety first reported on Wednesday. Quote, "We've always made it easy for people who live together to share their Netflix account, with features like separate profiles and multiple streams in our standard and premium plans," Netflix said in a blog post on Wednesday. You know what I never understood? What's the difference between their standard and premium plans?
Like, one lets you get DVDs, the other one's just streaming.
Yeah, so why most people don't even have DVD players anymore.
Pretty much if you want to watch everything, you get the DVD plan, because everything, whether or not it's on their service, is on DVD. But now you're just waiting a few days to get the DVDs.
And then you have to back it up for them, because you wouldn't want them to, you know, lose that.
Only if, you know, you want to make sure they don't lose any archive. So, I do see a point in the service. Now, I don't take advantage of it anymore, because I learned something that everyone should know. If you have a library card, you can watch everything that's on DVD for free.
Library cards aren't terribly difficult to get.
And depending on where you are, the library also offers a streaming service, which is also free. So there's a good argument on not having a paid streaming subscription. Just go get your library card, check out DVDs, and their streaming service.
Well, hell.
Now, I will let you know, their streaming service sucks, but you can get all the DVDs you want for free.
So, Madman, what's to stop you from walking in, rocking up in there with a laptop, and, you know, a laptop that either has a DVD drive or, you know, along with one of those little external ones, checking out the discs, sitting right down there at one of the tables, ripping them all, checking them in and getting another set?
Nothing.
Okay. Oh, just asking. Netflix said in a blog post on Wednesday, quote, "While these have been hugely popular, they have also created some confusion about when and how Netflix can be shared. As a result," no, there's no confusion. Everyone knows exactly what the fuck they're doing. Come on. "As a result,"
"I will let you use my Netflix if you let me use your, I don't know, HBO Max."
Or just people begging. It's like, "Oh, you have Netflix? Let me have your password, please." You know, get that one too. It's just, you know, people just asking. It's like, "Oh, it's like, give me your Wi-Fi." No. Yeah, actually, in my townhome, I had some neighbors move in and ask me for the, it's like, "Oh, wow, hey, can we get your Wi-Fi?" No. Oh.
What do you mean? I don't even own a computer. Fuck off.
They're like, "Oh, well, why not? Shouldn't have to explain that." It's like, "Well, our last neighbors let us have it."
Your last neighbors were idiots. Were more trusting than me.
Yeah, well, that's great for them, but I can't do that. Well, why not? I work from home, and I have all kinds of restrictions on my network. Oh.
Oh, look, I'm on the sex offenders list. I can't say anymore. Let's just say that.
No, I finally told them I had work from home, and I had a bunch of requirements on it, and they took that. And the mistake was I bought into their paradigm. I shouldn't, you know, it should have just been, "What? No, I'm not giving you my shit for free." But no, yeah. I had to buy into the game and explain to them in a way they understood that, "Oh, no, it's not me. It's, you know, my job won't let me do it." Never mind the fact that I set a lot of that policy. Anyways. Okay.
Oh, shit.
The streaming service will soon launch a test directed at cracking down on password sharing outside of a user's household. Variety first reported on Wednesday. Wait, I already read all this. We got talking and I lost my place. Where was I? While these have been hugely possible, confusion about, right. As a result, accounts are being shared between households, impacting our ability to invest in great new TV and film store members, i.e., we're
Bullshit.
Losing money.
Nope.
The test will start in the next few weeks in three countries. Chile, Costa Rica, and Peru.
Oh, just the poor countries. Okay.
The company will later evaluate whether to bring in another. In other words, they don't even know if it's going to work, so they're going to go test it over here when nobody's going to notice.
Well, you wouldn't want to upset your customer base in the U.S., would you?
No. Through the test, Netflix will start letting standard and premium plan customers add accounts for up to two people they don't live with for an extra monthly charge. These, quote, extra members, unquote, will have their own profiles, personalized recommendations, and logins and passwords. The fee is 2,380 Chilean pesos, about $3 in Chile, $2.99 in Costa Rica, and 7.9 Peruvian sol, which is about $2.11 in Peru. Netflix notes that this is cheaper than if the secondary user gets their own accounts. Netflix will also let basic, standard, and premium plan customers allow people sharing their accounts to transfer their profile information to a new account or to an extra member sub-account. When moving out, they'll keep their viewing history, personalized recommendations, and, quote, my list, unquote. Netflix prohibits password sharing in its terms and conditions, but has been lax with enforcing the policy over the years. In 2016, the company even said it was fine with users sharing their passwords as long as they didn't sell them. In recent years, though, Netflix says, actually, that'd be the thing with sharing your Netflix password, is I'd be worried some jackass, you know, in the family that you're sharing it with, or like yeah. if you've got a couple of families doing it, bumping you from the basic plan up to the expensive one because they want some feature.
Yeah.
I'm sure people would do it. In recent years, though, Netflix has taken greater action against the practice. Last year, the company tested a prompt on viewers using accounts owned by people outside their household. It read, quote, if you don't live with the owner of this account, you need your own account to keep watching, unquote. Users were then asked to either verify the account with a text or email code or start their own Netflix trial. The cost of just getting your own Netflix account has risen recently. In January, the company raised prices of its streaming plans in the U.S. and Canada to help bankroll more original content. So, I think Netflix must be feeling a bit of a cash flow squeeze to start caring about this. That or somebody's ran the numbers and said, well, you know, if everyone's sharing a password that we suspect of sharing a password anyways, was paying for a full account, we'd be seeing how much more revenue. I almost wonder if that's what it is. If some manager looked at that number and said, well, we got to do something about this.
Yeah. And then that's the reason they're testing it in a country that no one gives a fuck.
Yeah, make sure it works. And then if it does... Yeah,
because if it doesn't and it just fucks up everyone's accounts and shit like that, I could see an exodus. Especially in America where you have a lot of choices other than Netflix to pick from.
Yeah, you got 123 stream, you've got... you got the library.
Shut up! Shut up!
All right. Well, continuing today's theme of companies being shitty, the next one is from Hyperbeast. Apple made an additional $6.5 billion by no longer providing accessories with new iPhones. A recent report has determined that Apple has made over $6.5 billion in profit by no longer providing chargers and earphones with its latest iPhone purchases.
Hold up, it doesn't come with a charger for your phone.
No, the newest ones don't. They come with a cord, but they don't come with a charger.
That's retarded. I can understand not coming with headphones. You don't need that for your phone to work. If you can't charge the battery, you can't use your cell phone.
The assumption is that you've probably got 20 USB chargers. Their justification is you've probably got a charger from your previous phone laying around.
Yeah. So this is Apple, isn't it?
It's Apple.
Now I'm following. Okay.
Yeah. A recent report has determined that Apple has made over $6.5 billion in profit by no longer providing chargers and earphones with its latest iPhone purchases. Back in 2020, Apple introduced the move with the intention of cutting down waste. The tech giant received praise from environmentalists when it claimed it planned to reduce annual carbon emissions by 2 million tons. However, although consumers do not receive the charger or headphones, the products are promised to feature upgraded hardware and in higher quality in general. Apple argues that the trade-off of maintaining the same cost is that the iPhone comes with more premium features. Both earphone and chargers retail for about $20 a piece, and since these items are usually cheaper to produce, Apple is saving approximately $35 per device. The removal of these accessories also means that smaller packaging for the iPhones is contributing to the growing profit for the company. Apple has also promised that by 2023, its supply chain and product usage will be entirely carbon neutral. So what they've done to get that number is they took how many phones have been sold since they made the change in 2020, said they saved $35 for device, and then just knocked the how much is the $35 across all those sales. And that's where they got the $6.5 billion. Now, that is assuming that the actual cost to produce an iPhone hasn't changed, which, given the chip shortage and the fact that they're doing their own silicon, I'd say that's a hell of an assumption. Has it changed significantly? I don't know. Probably not super significantly, since they haven't done a price change. But they only come with a charging cord now. They don't come with a charger. So, it's an interesting point they're making, but I don't know. On one hand, I've got a bunch of high-quality chargers floating around here because I use them for all kinds of stuff, but I might be a bit unique in that regard. So I don't care that it doesn't come with a charger because I've got plenty of other chargers floating around, but somebody else might be a bit annoyed that they have to buy the phone and a charger. Although I remember the early days of the cell phone where, every extra cord you had to buy and cost $60, for another charging cord. Although it did come with one. But if you wanted to charge it in the car, that was another cord. And shit like that.
Well, I'm fine with charging for the extra one, but every cell phone I've ever bought came with a charger because you need to recharge it. Now, I could see if they want to change to we'll give you one if you ask model for, the environmentally conscious dude that has 30 iPhones.
Or if you've already got enough chargers floating around, you don't need another one.
Yeah, I've been Android for a while. I don't have an iPhone charger.
Well, it's a USB. But, they're all USB chargers these days, dude.
Didn't iPhone have their own end for a bit? Because most of my
Android
ones won't do it. It's got won't charge an iPhone.
It's got a Lightning port, but it comes with a cord. Your chargers won't charge an. You mean the cord won't plug in, or you mean like if I plug an iPhone charger cord into your?
Oh no, the cord won't plug in.
Yeah, no, it's that's the thing is the little USB plug in the wall side. That's the same, unless you've got one of the new ones that swapped USB-C. Those are a little different, but if it's one of the standard, here's one right here. What's this? This is a 2-amp one for a polyend. That's a piece of music equipment. That's actually not even a 2-amp. That's a 1-amp. I probably shouldn't be using this to charge other stuff because I had a battery plugged into this thing earlier and it's a 1-amp. No wonder it took so long. But yeah, I got random ass chargers all over the place. So, I get the idea of not including an extra one, but you're right. If you're swapping phones or, and you don't have a charger or, you're not, an idiot like me who's just got random USB shit all over the house, I could see that being a problem. So I kind of like the if you need one, ask, and you get it with your purchase kind of thing. But, I don't know. I'm not sure how accurate that $6.5 billion number is, but I kind of don't doubt it either. because of the way Apple is, and they do make a shit ton of money off iPhones and stuff. So, you know, I question how accurate it is, but the gist of it's probably not wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the estimate, but I could see them saving billions with how many iPhones they sell.
Because they move a lot. It's always a big deal whenever they rev the models. So, but anyways, last article I have for tonight is from Bleeping Computer. Microsoft Defender tags Office updates as ransomware.
Did I just hear this? Microsoft is calling its own software ransomware.
Yep. Windows admins were hit today. When's today? March 16th. Okay, so yesterday. Windows admins were hit yesterday by a wave of Microsoft Defender for Endpoint false positives, where Office updates were tagged as malicious in alerts pointing to ransomware behavior detected on their systems. According to Windows System Admin reports, and they've got some screenshots, this started happening several hours ago and in some cases led to a downpour of ransomware alerts. Following the surge of reports, Microsoft confirmed the Office updates were mistakenly marked as ransomware due to a false positive. Redmond added that its engineers updated Cloud Logic to prevent future alerts from showing up and remove the previous false alerts. Quote, starting on the morning of March the 16th, customers may have experienced a series of false positive detections that are attributed to ransomware behavior detection in the file system. Admins may have seen that the erroneous alerts had a title of ransomware behavior detected in the file system, and that the alerts were triggered by Office Service Manager or Office SVC MGR.exe. Unquote, Microsoft said following user reports. Quote, our investigation found that a recently deployed update with service components that detect ransomware alerts introduced a code issue that was causing alerts to be triggered when no issue was present. We deployed a code update to correct the problem and ensure that no new alerts will be sent, and we're reprocessing a backlog of alerts to comply or completely remediate impact. Unquote. After the Cloud Logic update rollout, the incorrect ransomware activity alerts will no longer be generated. All logged false positives should be automatically cleared from the portal without requiring admins' intervention. For the record, this is the enterprise version of Microsoft Defender, by the way. You probably didn't see this on home users. Let's see. According to Microsoft, the issue, quote, may have potentially affected, unquote, admins who attempted to view ransomware alerts in Defender for Endpoint. The root cause of the false positives was a recently deployed update with service components for detecting ransomware alerts. Okay, whoever wrote this doesn't understand. You want an alert for the detection of ransomware activity. You're not detecting the alerts. You generate the alerts. Anyways. This introduced a code issue that incorrectly caused the alerts to be triggered without ransomware activity being present on the system. In November, Defender for Endpoint was also blocked Office documents from opening and some Office executables from launching due to another false positive, tagging the file's Emotet malware payloads. 1 month later, it also mistakenly showed sensor tampering alerts linked to the company's newly deployed 365 scanner for Log4j. Since October of 2020, admins have had to deal with other similar Defender for Endpoint issues, including the alerting of one alerting of network devices infected with Cobalt Strike, and another marking Chrome updates as PHP backdoors. Microsoft spokesperson was not available for comment when contacted by Bleeping Computer. No shit. Point here is, I don't know that I would rely on Microsoft to run your antivirus software.
I was just thinking, if your code is generating ransomware alerts, you might be an evil company.
Possibly the bad guy.
It's entirely
possible.
Might
be the bad guy.
Are we the baddies? Let's see, we're actually doing a little early. We've got about 5 minutes left. I've only got one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and that is this interesting project called RP2040 Doom. So, if you're not aware of it, the RP2040 is a microcontroller that's been put out by the Raspberry Pi organization. They call it a, you know, mostly it's a Raspberry Pi Pico. That's the most common form factor. There's a few others floating around. I know for a fact that there's a 3D printer mainboard that uses one. There's a few other form factors that some other companies have made, smaller and things like that. Like there's a basic stamp with more flash, but the Pico is the one that's actually put out by Raspberry Pi and is a fairly it's a fairly new microcontroller, but it's gotten pretty popular pretty quickly. And it's pretty powerful. It's actually a dual core. It's got 264K of RAM and fairly decent clock speeds. So when it first came out, people had figured out how to get a VGA signal out of the thing and were running like NES emulators on it. So it already had some horsepower to it. And this guy wrote Doom, or got Doom to run on it. He's got video of it running. It uses the full Doom 1.wad. You know, it'll play Ultimate Doom and Doom 2 if you have one of the 8-megabyte devices, and that's the RP2040 stamp, which is a different form factor. You get 320 by 200 VGA output. You know, it's got all 9 channels of the sound, OPL2, the stereo. It can apparently do I2C networking for 4 players, so you can link 4 of them together, do some multiplayer. Save and load games, all the cheats, the demos, USB keyboard input, all the help screens, end screens, all that stuff works. You get about 30 frames per second. You do have to overclock the thing a little bit up to 270 megahertz. So you do have to overclock the board, but they've got it. They've got Doom running on a microcontroller.
That may become a definition of a computer. Does it play Doom?
It's not a bad one. It's really not a bad one. It's like it's a good Turing test. Is it a general purpose computer? Does it play Doom?
Yeah.
I mean, you were joking about that earlier, are you? It's like, well, you know, they got Doom to run on a toaster, so calculators and shit, so why not?
Pretty much anything, man.
Although, to be fair, the version that you saw in the TI-83 was not the real Doom. It was just a recreation somebody made. But
Doom's Doom.
Doom is Doom. But yeah, this plays the original Doom WAD, so you know that's kind of a nice thing. He's got all the code up on GitHub. He's got some, he's got a pretty good little interesting write up on all the work he did to make it run, how to get things to run out of the RAM, because he starts with Chocolate Doom and figures out that he needs more RAM than it's got, and. So he figures out how to do some compression, how to use some, you know, other features of the chip to use some storage to get around it, how to emulate the sound card on the thing, no real networking, and then he's figured out, well, we can do it over 2-wire I2C, so it's probably using the serial, because it says up to 4 players, so he's probably using the code for serial, because it's I2C. He's got a write-up on it, so it's all pretty cool. And, you know, video of it running and all that. So that's, you know, good times. But that's all I have for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit in the IRC tonight. CyberLart, Cycros, Madman, myself. Madman, closing thoughts.
If SteamOS picks up, I do believe it's going to start taking over Microsoft's home office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially because
I know that still uses Microsoft is using it to play video games.
Primarily, yeah.
Now, I don't see all of them moving because I also know several people that just don't care if someone's watching them. They don't care about telemetry. But I can see Microsoft adding their way out of the home market as soon as you can play video games on Linux reliably.
Well, I mean, SteamOS is partially there. It's mostly the anti-cheat and a few other things that aren't working so well on it. But and that's going to continue to get better since there's a piece of hardware they're trying to support for at least a little while. And by all reports, you can install Windows on the thing and it just runs terribly. I think mainly it's a driver optimization issue, but they don't even have sound working if you install Windows on the Steam Deck right now. So, but I don't think it's I think more people than you think will switch, not so much for the telemetry part because that's kind of silent. You don't really notice it going on. It doesn't bother you so much. But if you if every window is covered in banner ads saying give Microsoft more money, that's going to get obnoxious to the point that you'll start seeing people install ad blockers in their operating system or switch off to Linux because not so much because they want anything Linux can do. They just don't want to be hassled with all the ads all the damn time. Although mobile market shows people will put up with a lot, so maybe I'm being a little optimistic there.
That is a mod I didn't really think would ever come up. Ad block for your OS.
I mean, Windows already, if you have to go in and turn it all off, but you already kind of have that with like the Tweak UI and stuff like that to go in and kill all of Microsoft's ads that it already tries to put on the lock screen, the taskbar, and the start menu. So, you know, why not? Are you closing thoughts?
So I had one of those light bulb moments halfway through the show. So yesterday, Joe Biden's talking about revenge porn, you know, and things like that, people posting naked pictures of people in their worst moments and how him and his administration are going to crack down on it. It just baffled me. Why fight for that? And then it turns out
Hunter Biden's laptop?
Hunter Biden's laptop has been confirmed by...
Whoopsie.
By the actual press. The mainstream media are actually saying, yes, it's real now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's after the election.
He tried to get out in front of it, that dirty motherfucker.
And, well, I mean, think about it. He's no longer running for election, and his shot of getting reelected is pretty low right now because his numbers are shit.
Yeah, he's just trying to stop the embarrassment for Hunter, all the fucking porno and shit that he had on his laptop.
But now there's no reason for them not to confirm it, and they look bad for not confirming it as early as they did, except, you know, there's like, oh, well, we thought it was more conspiracy theory. I mean, it's a poor excuse, but it is.
Well, dude, you just wait 2 weeks, conspiracy theory becomes truth.
What did we decide most conspiracy theories were called these days? Previews?
Yeah, previews. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's
that's
done.
All I have.
All right, let's close this out.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, fuck.
Don't pass it out.